Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
And I'll get you another.
Yeah, it's okay. That's okay. Lord, we bless your name.
Hallelujah.
We bless you because the scripture says at midnight you cursed and you moved within Egypt to bring forth your son.
Amen.
We thank you because as we see the darkness gathering, as we see the earth being covered by darkness, we can also see the quickening and the raising up of the sons of God.
Amen.
Upon the earth.
Amen.
For we know that as the floods and as the rains and the floods began to come upon the earth, you use the same floods to bring your people to that place of safety.
Yes.
So Lord, we look to you. We do not look to the floods. We do not look to the dark circumstances and news, to the death and tribulation that we find in the world. But Lord, we come this night to look to you, that the glorious light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ might shine forth.
Hallelujah.
Within our souls, within our mind, that it might quicken and elevate us and bring us to that place of safety in Christ. So Lord, we bless you for that which you are giving to us. We receive this rain of righteousness, these bright clouds, these showers that you are giving to us. Lord, we come to receive the refreshing, the strength. We come to receive the new anointing and new fire. The opening of our eyes, the strengthening of our feet. The anointing of our ears and our hearts. Lord, even this new priesthood that you are raising forth, we receive grace to walk into it. That which we have seen and long after, we come to receive strength today in our limbs to walk in them. To walk in these realms of glory. We bless your name, Lord. We exalt you and we thank you for the bread and the table that you have spread for us. We receive grace and strength to partake of it, to receive of this life, that it might quicken us. We just glorify your name. At the entrance of your word, we bring life and light and understanding. We bless your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I just feel a quickening of the Lord for us to look at the practical circumstances. And you know, situations of walking, yes, and of abiding in a place of victory, being in a place where we will continually overcome. So I want to draw. This is going to be one of the first, one of the tables we'll be looking at. I want to draw a house. This is the house of the gospel. And this is the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament, which is the foundation of our faith. And it's represented by the tabernacle of Moses. That is the foundation. But you see, you don't live in the foundation. How many people live in the foundation? Do you know anyone who lives in the foundation? No one here. Amen. But you see, scripture says, it's the foolish man who doesn't have foundation. Amen. Yeah. The foolish man doesn't have foundation. Because it says that when the storm comes, what happens? His house will be blown away. And that is what we do not want to happen to us in this time, in this storm that is coming. You know, so if we want to overcome, then we must have a foundation. And that foundation is the foundation that is given to us according to the pattern in the old. And that pattern is the tabernacle of Moses. But the house has a superstructure. And that superstructure is the what? Is the New Testament. And this New Testament is fashioned after which one? After the tabernacle of David. Or the tabernacle of, or the tabernacle of man. You will not see tabernacle of man in the Bible, so you have to understand the context which I'm using it. Amen. But you will find the tabernacle of David in the Bible. So we will quote the scripture. We know the whole of Exodus 1:25. Up till 40, to chapter 40, they tell us about the tabernacle of David, of Moses, and lays out the foundation. And then the tabernacle of David, it was first prophesied by Amos 9 to about 11, says that I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen down, and I will raise up the breaches, you know, at the end time. And then we know that in Acts chapter 15, when they were confused. So it's not unique for brethren to have a confusion, you know, regarding and reconciling the old and the new. It has always been there. Among the early disciples, in fact, the early brethren, you know, what are they doing? They were only preaching to the Jews. They come into the city, they look at the Jews and preach to them. And until some of them say, look, this is not it, that it's not just the Jews, but the Gentiles that were also heirs of salvation. So it was something that was not clear. And even today, in the church, is still not very, very clear. But someone stood up and said, no, that this is the tabernacle of David that has fallen down. So you must have the whole house, the new and the old. No part of either one are irrelevant. The old is the foundation of the new. The new depends on the old for clarity. And for strength, and for depth. So you'll find that the first three chapters of Genesis preach the whole gospel. Yeah. Those are the deepest scriptures. The first three chapters of Genesis. Amen. There's so much in it. So the whole scriptures agree in one. So we must, our house must be properly built. We must have a foundation. And if we don't have a foundation, we must go back. Because what we are doing now is a boot camp.
Yeah.
You know, we are checking out our foundations. We are checking out our structures. We are checking out our operations. We are making sure that everything is in order, because we know that a storm is coming. So if you know a storm is coming, we must be focused. And that is to go again and look at our foundation. Paul says, examine yourself to know if you are in the faith. So it is an unwise man who will know, who will lie. In fact, the scripture says, let him eat who thinks he stands. Do what? Take heed, lest his fall, lest his house come, lest the storm comes and blows away his house. So none of us here should assume, make any assumptions, that I am this or I am that or whatever it is. We need the foundation of the old. But you don't live in the foundation. You are saved. If you just stay on the foundation, you'll not be safe. You need something. You need a covering. You need the superstructure. You need the finishing work. And that finishing work we find also in the New Testament. And today, even though we don't have much time, I'm going to try to, I just feel the Lord speaking in that direction for us to just tie it up. And then bring it to a practical application, how we can daily work to overcome the enemy. Because what the devil is doing is that he is using higher intelligence on us. You know, Brother used to say it's reverse psychology. You know, reverse psychology. You want someone to go to Bloomington,
yeah.
What you do is you make him to go. You first of all make him to go to Champaign. And because he doesn't want to go to Champaign, he goes to Bloomington. So the devil wants you to attack your brother. The devil wants to destroy your brother. What he does is to make you to attack your brother. And then he starts fighting against you. Then you start fighting against him. Hallelujah. It happens in the home. It happens. I mean, this is everyday situation. And we must be wiser. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I want to read two sets of scriptures to illustrate what the first one is in Romans 8. We know it very well, but I want to be particular. I don't want to make any assumptions. So that you can put down the scriptures and look at them later. Romans 8, the whole of Romans, but I'm reading from verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I want you to note verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of adoption, spirit of bondage, again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit is itself also bearing us witness that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. It so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. These scriptures are very clear as to God's purpose, what he wants to do. And I want you to note, if you don't note anything, just a phrase. And that's what he calls the spirit of, okay, the spirit of adoption, not God. Spirit of adoption. Now, many of us don't know what adoption is. You know, we know the word, but we don't really know what adoption is, because adoption is not a common practice in our culture. So when someone talks about adoption, we have to figure it out. It's not something that we do and commonly and naturally. But in Rome, it was common. And everyone knew what adoption meant. That if a man adopts a son, when that son is 30 years, the man makes a ceremony. It's a public ceremony in which he publicly adopts that child as a son. Now, that adoption means to bring him into a position of authority in which he assumes all the rights and the privileges and powers and all the things that goes with being a son. And when that is done, there is no difference between him and the son who is naturally born. So in Rome, a man could decide, well, he's not going to have any children, he will adopt someone. And when that ceremony is done, he publicly gives him his token. That by that token, everyone who sees him knows that this is the son of so and so. Now, so when the Bible talks about the spirit of adoption, in fact, when I began to say it, I was very excited. It changed many things for me. Because there is no way a slave can become a son unless he's adopted. There is something that must happen to him to be able to break the mentality, all the things that has to do with his situation of being a servant and being a slave. And there is something that happens to him that brings him into a new experience and order. Praise the Lord. Okay. Put your finger there, then let's go to Galatians. Remember, the target is to be sons of God, children of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, let's go to Galatians 4. Now, I say that the heir, remember, it's talking about joint heirs. Okay, so that the heir, as long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Though he is called and he has an inheritance as the Son of God, he has inheritance in God. You say, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But even that, even though we are sons, we are called as sons, as heirs. But he's saying that, look, these heirs, there is a time in which they are children, in which this inheritance has not yet come into them. But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That was what I was trying to explain. Even so, when we are children, we are in bondage under the elements of the world. What he's saying is that if a man adopts a son, when that son is a child, he doesn't enjoy the privilege of a son. He is a son. He is called to be a child. He is a heir. But the authority, privileges, powers of a son, he doesn't enjoy it because he has not yet come to maturity. He has not yet come to that estate, that place, that, you know, that completeness in which he has a responsibility and ability to exercise authority and dominion. And as long as he hasn't come there, the Bible said that he's put under rules, under governors, under tutors. They say, even so, we, when we were children, we are bondage under the elements of the world. What are the elements of the world? The elements of the world speak of the principalities, the princes that rule over polities, domains. Hell works by a network. You know, the scripture says that the cords of hell have, you know, has overwhelmed me. Even when you look at the word cords, I think I showed it in July, it means divisions, hierarchies, partitions, regions. So that is the way the devil has partitioned the world into different sections. So you have spirits that rule over regions, over nations. You have spirits that have authority over certain natures of men. So there are spirits that rule over the emotions, that rule over the desires, that rule over your mind, that rule over the will. Those are, Bible calls them rulers. High wickedness, spiritual wickedness, in the high places speak of the dominions of your soul. The dominions of your mind, of your emotions, and all that. There are spirits whose nature it is to bring you and bring me under bondage and to make sure we remain in those situations. And the Bible says that when we are children, when we haven't come to maturity, this is the situation of our souls, this is the situation of the world, that there are these elements of the world, this principalities, spirits, demons, you know, and so on, that have been, they have the authority. Because man was born, Adam was born under this element. Adam fell under this element, and all his children, everyone that was born by right, under the authority of the devil. And he said to Jesus, for such have been given to me. And brethren, that is the real issue. And the church, you and I, we must appreciate it. And we must strive to be able to come to the place where we can practically overcome these things. Now, for a long time, we have spoken theory. We know all the scriptures. We know all the theory. But the truth that hardly, we seldom walk in them. So this is remain up there. We know them in our heads, but they are not in our hearts. And that is the challenge that we have, that we must move beyond just talking about, not just knowing about them, but we come to the point where we're able to function and walk at these dominions. And that is what I believe that by the Spirit of God we'll be able to do this evening. Praise God. So he's saying, please, can I have some water? He says, but so even so, when we were children, thank you, sir. Thank you. That when we were children, we were under bondage of the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what is he saying? He's saying that there are different stages. There are different levels of experience in which the church has been passing through. Now, somewhere, I can't remember the scripture, where he said that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us. Yes, Galatians what? If you see, let's. I think it's 4, but maybe somewhere down. 3:24, okay. 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 Yes, okay. Now read from verse 23. For before faith came, we were kept under the law. I'm reading 23 now. Shut up unto the faith, we should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law, brethren, the foundation. The foundation of the Old Testament. Alright? Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ. Or unto Christ. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a time appointed to bring us to maturity. Amen. To bring us unto Christ. And that time, brethren, is now. Amen. So the law is there. It's our schoolmaster. And we must go back to the foundations. You must personally take time out to look at your foundations. You need the schoolmaster. And the tabernacle of Moses is the easiest. There are other patterns. If you look at the 7 days of creation, it's a pattern. There's a pattern there, but it's a bit more complicated. But this one is very easy. So I would recommend that you go on your own and get a revelation of it. Because that is your foundation. It's your schoolmaster to bring you into Christ. Now, when we talk about Christ, Christ is a new priesthood. Christ is a new experience altogether. Christ is not the Pentecostal ministry. Christ is not fellowship, even though that is part of it. Christ is a new order, a new dispensation. And Christ is a many-membered body. Christ the head and the body. And this is a reality. It must be a reality that we are walking in. Now, sometimes when the scripture uses the word that we are being baptized into Christ, I know it's not very clear. Even for me, for many years, it was difficult for me. It's only recently becoming clear to me. So, for anyone who has problem with that, I can relate to it. Because sometimes, if you don't look at it very well, it may not be clear to you. But it is true. The scripture talks about being baptized into Christ. So, you will find... Okay, I don't know if I can... Can I clean this? Okay, so this is sufficiently clear. Now we can move a little bit. We can go to the next stage. To now look at the articles. So you still have your tabernacle. And then, of course, we have this. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So we are looking at the baptisms. The Bible talks about the doctrine of baptisms. It didn't say baptism, but baptisms. And you will find that in Hebrews 6. Okay? Now, those are the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. These are foundational. I mean, you find that these foundational ones, we still have problems with them. You know? But, so, there is something called the doctrine of baptisms. And there may be, well, traditionally we would recognize three. The water baptism, which is the natural baptism, which man baptizes you into Christ. Sorry, baptizes you in water, which is a token. And all the, even though it's physical, it's still a spiritual experience. And Jesus went through it. And then there is the second level, that is baptism into the Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, again, is something that, yes, we have experienced, but you see, the understanding of that experience, even though people, it was limited to just speaking in tongues, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, healings, and all the things that went with it. It was a much more deeper experience. Now, for you to be able to understand what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, you must go back to the beginning. You must understand the spirit, the concept of adoption. If you do not understand this concept of adoption, then you cannot understand what baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. The purpose of the baptism is not just for you to speak in tongues. It is a byproduct. It is a byproduct. And as we go into it, you will see why it is a byproduct. So, people, you might speak in tongues, but you see, most people have not realized the whole essence of speaking in tongues. But what is happening now is that because we have come into that dispensation when God is bringing the first experience, that is being born again, the second experience of baptism of the Holy Ghost, both the first and the second are being brought into the last one. That's both the Pentecostal, the Passover experience is being brought into this experience of tabernacles. So there is going to be a new outpouring of the Holy Ghost. No amen for that. No amen for that. No amen for that. I thought you'd be excited. There is a new anointing of the Holy Ghost coming. And scripturally, you must know why. Why is there a new anointing coming? Because there is a new feast coming. And this is a great feast. This feast incorporates being born again, or the experience of that covenant. This blazing laver, that's a fire. That's where you get the fire. The fire in the temple comes on the blazing altar. That's where the fire comes. When they bring the sacrifice, the fire falls. Now, many people, their fire have gone out. But that's good news. You can get the fire this night. You see, no amen for that. You can get your fire this night back. Hallelujah. Do you know why? Is your right? There is one sign to recognize the temple of God. What is that sign? Fire. When Moses built the tabernacle, when he had finished, what happened? The fire came. When Solomon had finished the temple, the second one, isn't it so? What happened?
Fire came.
When the third one was raised up, the beginning of it, he said the brethren were gathered together. What happened? Physical fire came. And brethren, God is saying the fire is coming.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you think the church is losing life, this is when church is starting now. This is the most exciting time to be alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because we are getting all. All are coming. The fire is coming. That's Passover. That's what signifies Passover. Pentecost is also coming. That is, there's going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
It will, all the other signs of speaking in tongues, miracles, you think you have seen miracles, just wait. This is not talk. I'm telling you, by evidence of scripture, and by the evidence of the Spirit, what the Spirit of God is saying, that there is a new outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, why would the Holy Ghost come? No. Why is the Holy Ghost going to come? See, you're not following the class very well. You're not very well. Yeah, we're in the class. We are in the boot camp. we're in the boot camp. So we are going to go over it again until you understand it. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is for what purpose? Adoption. In the natural, there's no way a man, a slave, can become a son unless he's what? Adopted. And it is a ceremony. It is something that is done. It is an experience. It is a time when there is a transference of authority, of spirit, of power, of privilege, of benefits, of... That is the day in which everything is given to the son. Say, so today you are now a son. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of adoption.
Yes,
1 Corinthians 2 says, how can you say, you say, what things know the things of a man, if not the Spirit of man, isn't it so? They say, what things knows the Spirit of God, except what, knows the things of God, except what? The Spirit of God also. You, the, what makes you a man is that you have a spirit.
Yes, amen.
Oh, that's what makes you different, that you have a spirit. And what will make you a son of God is what? The Spirit of adoption. So the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to adopt you.
Hallelujah.
Is to adopt you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why the Spirit of God is being released, that He might adopt us onto the estate of the sons of God. So that's what He's trying to say. But He's saying that yes, that is what God wants to do. But if you look at the history of the church, that didn't happen immediately. Because there was a time of being immature. There was a time of being a child. There was a time of being a slave, a servant. He says, to whomsoever you are overcome, what happens? You become the servants thereof. Hallelujah. And we have been the servants of sin, servant of the flesh. He says, you are therefore, no, you don't have any, you are not a debtor to the flesh. We have been serving the flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is the nature of man that operates outside of the influence of the Spirit of God. And this evening, we are going to look at that fleshly manifestation in a practical way. Because you see, you and I, we must know how it operates in our everyday situation. When you are at home, what is the flesh? How does the flesh manifest? And then when you are at home, how would the Spirit also manifest?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we must know it.
Hallelujah.
And we must practice it.
Amen.
And we must master it.
Yes.
And we must come on top of our game.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So when the devil comes and wants me to walk in the flesh, I say no.
Amen.
It is enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when the people begin to rise, they're able to resist the flesh and submit to the truth of God. Then the game is off for the devil. Hallelujah. So, In this Feast of Tabernacles, we'll go over it again. There is a Feast of Blowing of Trumpets. We'll be having that. But you see, God has now brought us to the real action, which is the place of atonement. Isn't it so? And the place of atonement is to deal with the soul, the operations of the soul. You know, we're looking at how the soul has been operating. And we saw from the scripture, we looked at Romans 8, verse 6. It talks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, you know so. The carnal mind is a mind that operates outside of the influence of God. In other words, he operates like a beast. He operates on his own. He's independent of God. He's independent of the... it's not sensitive to the Spirit of God. He's not sensitive to the operations of God. He does whatever he wants to do. And we have been excusing it.
Yes.
I have been excusing until God shocked me. What was that? I think we were somewhere and we were talking and God shocked me. Now, what I say is my nature. I say, it's my nature to be angry. What you call nature, it is a manifestation of the nature of darkness.
Yes.
That is the motivation of your mind to walk in the flesh is what we call nature. The motivations of your emotion to walk outside of the nature of God, outside of the Spirit of God, is what we say, well, it's my nature is to be angry, to be bitter. What it means is that you are manifesting the devil. I hope nobody is angry with me. What you call, when you say personality, say, this is my personality. Your personality is motivated. Well, okay, let's put it this way. Maybe it's the addition, when you add up all the things you have been doing from birth till now, all the activity, all the experiences you go through, that is your personality. All the things you experience, they shape your future action, isn't it so? What happens to you today is what is going to make you respond tomorrow. If somebody comes and you have a very bad emotional experience, somebody hurts you, are you going to open up to the person next time? So if you are hurt as a child or you are abused as a child, what is going to happen? When you grow up, you will be showing what they call, the psychologists will say is showing where they use all kinds of words. But what it means is that sometimes you go back to your childhood and you begin to live out your experiences. If you are denied certain privileges as a child, Michael Jackson was denied certain privileges as a child. When he grew up, what was he trying to do? He was trying to relieve his childhood. Is it not so? What's that mean now? Huh? He was reliving his childhood. The things he missed, he said, no, I want these children, the children of this generation, to experience. I don't want them to go through what I went through. What is happening? That was his personality. The things that happen to you all through life. And those things that happen, remember, were not happening by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They were happening by the inspiration of devils.
Yes, amen, amen.
So, even though it looks a bit crude, but the truth of the matter is that the soul of man operates at two levels. In the flesh and in the spirit. Now, in the flesh means my emotion is helpless, is held captive by certain spirit. Remember, there are spirits that rule the emotions, that stir up lust, that stir up bitterness, anger, malice, strife. All those things are operated by specific spirits. So when the spirit of bitterness comes into you, what happens? You begin to be bitter.
Yeah.
And now, do you know what happens when you are bitter? you become a minister of bitterness.
Yes, you do.
Did you hear what I said? No response.
Yes.
You and I become a minister of bitterness. Do you know why? The soul is a priest. The soul is the altar, is the place where offerings are brought. Hallelujah. Say amen now. I'm just describing Ezekiel chapter 1. Go and read it. Ezekiel chapter 1, he was showing the soul as a vessel, isn't it so? He said it had the nature of light. It could function as a light. But there is the opposite also. When the light is not there, that light is the nature of God. So in the dimension of the nature of man that doesn't have life from God, what happens? The soul becomes Babylon, a habitation of spirits. So what it means is that your emotions are my emotions. Remember, the emotions are the lowest.
Yeah.
They are running on the ground. And at that dimension, they are reactionary. They are being controlled by different kinds of spirits. So, and Bible says that the second Adam is what? A life-giving spirit. The second Adam just means that soul, that emotion that is no longer working on its own, but is now being controlled by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because it's no longer in the dimension of darkness, it's under the control of the Spirit of God. What will it do? It will bring forth life.
Amen.
So if my mind is at the carnal level, what happens? Death. I transmit death. In my mind, I'm ministering death. I'm empowering spirits to attack my brethren. I'm empowering spirits to attack my wife.
Yes.
I become a minister of death in my house.
Amen.
All the devil needs to do is to get your emotion at the lower dimension. Get you reactive.
Yeah.
You start thinking evil. Isn't it so? And when you think evil, you release death. I empower spirits to function. And when I empower spirits, they can only do one thing. What would they do? They will destroy.
Yes.
They will take away the life of God. They will bring sickness. They will bring disease. So I become a minister of death unto death. But if my soul is under the Spirit of God, what happens? I become a minister of life.
Amen.
Unto life. So he said that the second Adam will become what? A life-giving spirit. So, you and I, we determine where we are. Are we life-giving spirits? Do we minister life or we minister death? Now, somebody can say, I have the right to be angry. There's no problem. What you mean? You have the right to have now become a channel of darkness. Yes. He said, I have a right to be hot. I'm natural. When you are natural, what it means is that you are now Babylon.
Yeah.
Your soul has become a habitation of what? Devils.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, here I am boasting I'm natural.
Yeah.
No. It's, after all, I'm natural. I'm not yet perfect. Yes, you're not yet perfect. But know also that in that state of not being perfect, what will become? You become a slave. And a servant of sin.
Yeah.
So let's read that scripture, Romans 6. Romans 6. We're still going to go to the picture so that we don't forget. Romans 6:13, and it says, okay, 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, say, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When he says members, he's speaking of the natures of your soul. Those are your members, the mind, the emotions, the will, the desire. Those are the members. And he says, don't yield to them. So I am an instrument of life or of death. If I yield my mind to the flesh, what happens? It begins to function. If I yield myself also unto life, what happens? It also begins to function. So, it becomes a balance. Now, that was the picture process was drawing, isn't it so? When he says, if the heart is in the flesh, what happens? It works in the spirit. It works carnally. If the pendulum swings the other way, what happens? You begin to walk in the spirit. Now, this is that pendulum. And this is a practical situation. And it's like catechism. It's like something you have to rehearse. You know, like Paul was saying, you go to work and you only remember God once. Out of 8 hours, the only time you think of God just once. Maybe that's an overcoming. Because the time you remember God when we're about to sleep. You say, oh God. Oh yes. I have not prayed today. Just one. In fact, some people, you can even sleep without remembering God. So you go, oh, so what happened to me? Oh, I had a rough day. Oh, I had a hard time. You had a hard time.
Yeah.
The soul has been where?
Darkness.
Where was the soul operating? Hallelujah. So the devil is going to weigh you down with business.
Yeah.
With stuff. What do you call stuff?
Yeah.
He will weigh you down with stuff.
Yeah.
Legitimate stuff and illegitimate stuff. Hallelujah. Say, thou will keep him in perfect peace.
Amen.
Whose mind is what?
Stayed
on thee. Hallelujah. So, if I make a practice of my mind being stayed in God, the chances are that when the devil comes, what will happen? Say, resist the devil, and he will flee. We give the devil 2 more credit. You and I will give the devil too much credit. And he makes us believe that we don't have the power. But we have enough power to bind the devil.
Hallelujah.
See? The amen is very small. Well, you have the authority to bind the devil.
Hallelujah.
You can bind the devil. How do you bind the devil? By resisting him.
Amen.
Spirits respond to 2 things. Submission and resistance. That's how you deal with spirits. If you submit to a spirit, what does it do? It begins to function. If you resist a spirit, what does it do? It stops functioning. No spirit can function without your submission or resistance. So we must learn how to discern the spirits. When we discern the spirit, we can resist them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that is something we have to learn. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so we're looking at this. Let's come again. Let's come back to the foundation. You know, you need the foundation to build the house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we're going back to the foundation. And I was talking about the spirit of adoption. Now, what has the Spirit of God come to do? The Spirit of God has come to pull my mind from the realm of the flesh into the realm of the spirit.
Amen.
That's what it means, adoption. That is to take you from one level as a slave to sin and bring you the same mind to another dimension where it is a servant of righteousness. Hallelujah. So to go from one level of operation to another, you need a spirit You need power. You need energy. Sorry, I have to correct myself. I was saying somewhere that energy is not in the Bible. Somebody came and showed me where the whole Bible is filled with energy. The whole Bible is filled with energon. The Greek word is what? Energon. Energis. Egon. It means power. Energy. Hallelujah. There is energy. And if you don't have the energy of God, you cannot resist the Spirit. Hallelujah. It is a matter of power. Who has more power? And the soul of man has no power at all. But he said, you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, you receive the Holy Ghost. After you receive power from on high. Hallelujah. So when you receive power, it's not to speak in tongues. It's to change your house address. It's to change our house address.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. We are no longer dwelling in the flesh. We now dwell in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So it says, wait until you be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
We need to go to God. I say, God, baptize me afresh.
Amen.
I anoint my head afresh.
Yes.
With oil.
Yes.
Now, of course, we know why the oil is coming. It's to give us energy.
Yes.
Somebody says there is dunamis and there is exousia.
Yes.
Well, those are Greek words. They're not too big. Dunamis means power. But it's a special power, inherent power. That is power that brings forth power. That is, it's power that brings forth power in itself.
Amen.
So when that power comes, it keeps boiling and it's expanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The other one means authority. Exousia means authority. Authority. So we have the energy and we have the recognition in the Spirit. That's authority. When you see Obama, you know he has authority. I was looking at him and said, this man is so thin. Such a thin man. He looks so frail. But he has authority. Amen. He says, the United States government, you better listen. We do so and so and so and so because he has the authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when he says that, the chief of staff, the joint chief of staff, the chief of army, the chief of air force, the chief of navy, what do? They command their subordinates and they begin to work. That is power.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we have authority and power at the same time.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And we have this over the spirits,
yes,
over the devils.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is authority in the church.
Yes.
There is power in the church.
Yes.
Guess what? It only required one man to deal with all the devils in hell. No amen for that.
Amen.
You're not convinced. Just one man. One. Just one man. One.
Amen.
One man. I find no fault in this.
Amen.
He didn't say I find no fault in this God. Say the man, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Say being found in fashion as what? A man. Hallelujah. That is the authority you have. And that I have. But I know as I'm talking now in your head, you say, no.
Yeah.
I've got so many problems. I've not paid my bills. I've not, my business is not going well. How is he said, look, God, give me a good business. Buy a new car for me. Pay all my bills. Then we shall start discussing authority and power. Amen. It's when we have done all that, then I'm ready to listen to you. Before that, I think I want to settle my business first. Hallelujah. Guess what will happen? The devil will make sure you are always settling your business. Amen. He will make sure that you are busy. You are busy with stuff. Running from pillar to post. Doing what? Settling business. Hallelujah. So we need the people to break. We must break that circle. Hallelujah. It's a vicious circle. We must break it. Hallelujah. So, we come to baptism. Now, so the purpose of baptism is what? To bring my mind into the realm of the Spirit. That is the purpose of baptisms. So the first baptism is in water to say you are baptized in water, into death. Isn't it so? You are cut off. You are dead to the world, isn't it? And you are raised in newness of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Ghost comes. The Holy Ghost comes into, not just upon you, but he's coming inside. He comes into the Spirit and he begins a work. Hallelujah. Now the destination is the soul. Because it is the soul that needs help. When a man dies, what happens? The soul, the spirit goes back to God. Isn't it so? Huh? The body goes down. Isn't it so? The spirit is in, the soul is in jeopardy. It's in trouble. It's the one that goes to God. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is sent to do something for the soul. Hallelujah. So it is that God is going to anoint us afresh. So he says the vessel must be filled with oil, but the vessel is filled from the lamp. Our lamp is the Spirit. You see so? And it is when the oil, when our spirits are filled with oil, then it can empty in. It can fill the vessel. So the order of the Spirit is that the Spirit must rule over the soul. And then the soul will rule over the body. That is the doctrine of Christ. That is the doctrine of Christ. Spirit ruling over the flesh, over the mind, and then the mind ruling over the body. So the last thing to be changed will be our body. So the body is not a problem. Whatever the devil wants to do with the body, he had just a short time. We are giving him a short time. Devil has what? A short time. Hallelujah. Because it says that the body will also be delivered. Will be adopted into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. You need to say to your body, get ready for change.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to say to your body, get ready for change. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be changed.
Amen.
And we must believe it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We must believe it.
Amen.
Say, I'm living for change. I'm not living for death.
Yes.
See, no amen. Hallelujah. I'm living for change.
Yes.
So my spirit, every one of us, our spirits should have been saved. That is Pentecost. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And because your spirit is filled, it runs over. It affects your mind. You begin to speak in an unknown tongue. You begin to prophesy. You begin to do things that you don't have control over. Hallelujah. Those are the manifestations. But you see, that is just the second dimension of baptism. The real baptism is when the soul is delivered. It's like an aeroplane.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. It's running and it's about to take off.
Hallelujah.
How many people are about to take off? I'm about to take off.
Amen.
So, you know, the plane must detach. It must break the rule of gravity.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When it breaks the rule of gravity, what happens?
Hallelujah.
It's actually more like a rocket.
Yeah.
More like a satellite.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. They shoot the satellite and it's contending with gravitational pull. Isn't it so? Gravity is pulling it down. Carnality. Huh? The nature of creeping things. You say, no, you must be on the earth. But it happens that it breaks through that covering. And immediately it breaks through that covering, what happens? It goes out of the pool of the earth. The earth has no more authority and dominion over it. And what happens? It begins to roam in the heavens. Hallelujah. So whenever you see a rocket, say it's a prophecy. That I'm about to be released.
Hallelujah.
Because when we are released in God, we are not coming back.
Amen.
Says you have broken through the flesh.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So the purpose of the Spirit is to bring us into Christ.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible calls baptism into Christ. Hallelujah. So, this is the realm of Christ. Amen. This is the realm of Christ. And when you break through the veil, it extends. And this is your tabernacle of David.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And this is what we are called for. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, when we look at this tabernacle, it is describing the joining of your soul and my soul. Therefore, what you have here is a soul that escapes from hell and Babylon or Egypt. Or the place of rebellion. The place where there is no life of God. That is the world. The life of God is not there, remember. The soul doesn't have the access to the life of God. And if the life of God is not there, what do you have? Death, violence, and so on. That is what you have. So the soul is brought into this first experience of the altar. And it is a place of blood. And it is a covenant. A life and blood covenant that the soul comes into. So the soul comes to this place and the blood is applied to the soul.
Amen.
That cannot be the end of the matter. Because this soul needs to change address. The nature of the soul must be changed also. The appetite of the soul must be changed. The mind of the soul must be changed. The will of the soul must be changed. The desires of the soul must be changed. Hallelujah. Yes. The soul must go through these experiences. Hallelujah. I remember the Bible said the eyes of the understanding are darkened. There's no light. It's all darkness. The soul must have a nature of darkness to function in hell. Don't you understand?
Yes.
The soul is a priest. The devil has to clothe it in darkness to suit his nature.
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The nature of the soul is darkness.
Yeah.
So that it can be a minister of death in hell.
Jesus.
In the realms of hell. But if the soul is going to function as a minister of God, it must also now change its own nature to the nature of light so that it can function as a bride of Christ. So there must be a transition from darkness unto light. From death unto life. So, in whatever situation, the soul is a priest.
Yes.
priest, and must be clothed either with remnants of darkness or wickedness or darkness or remnants of glory. So he says the bride has made herself ready and is wearing what? A white garment. That is what you find there. So this is the first journey. Yes, it has other applications. You can look at it, but we are looking at the fullest dimension, and that is the application of the soul. Now, this soul must come to baptisms. It must come to baptism, and that's what we have been discussing. Now, baptism now brings the soul to the real action.
Amen.
And the real action is that the soul must come to the lampstand. And the scripture describes this as seven lamps of fire. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Without complicating it, it means the restoration of discernment into the soul.
Amen.
There must be discernment being restored to your soul. Hallelujah. Now, when you enter this tabernacle, there's no light here. Everything here is darkness. But the only source of light is from where? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In this realm. Now, when you go here, what happens? The light changes.
Yeah.
It is the what?
Glory.
Radioactive. Raw energy and power of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, discernment must restore to the soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that it talks of the seven spirits of God. Or it talks about the seven lamps of fire. And if you read Isaiah 11, it says that Jesus was anointed with a sevenfold spirit. Isn't it so?
Yeah.
The spirit of God,
yeah.
The spirit of wisdom,
uh-huh.
And knowledge, and understanding, and the fear of God. Okay, so he lists the seven spirits. Now, something is about to happen in the church. God is restoring discernment.
Praise God.
God is restoring discernment.
Discernment.
How you will know the priests of God is that they will have discernment.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They will see within. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They will have a light within them.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, there was something they called the Urim and Thummim.
Yes.
Do you remember it?
Uh-huh.
It's called him the light and the perceptions of God. That was what the high priest had. Two stones. So you put it in the breastplate. And that was what indicated what God, you know, that was a very elementary, crude manifestation of the discernment of God. But the high priest had to have it. Because with it, he knew the word of the Lord for every situation. But in this new priest, God is restoring it to the soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is discernment coming in the soul.
Amen.
It will no longer be darkness.
Amen.
So he says that that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened.
Amen.
When they came to take Jesus, he just laughed. What did he say? He knew their thoughts.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He looked at them. He knew what they were thinking. He could discern what they were thinking. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The church is coming to a new dimension, brethren. Yeah. He says, when I was a child, what happened? I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, what happened? Say, I put away childish things. He said, now I see darkly. Through a glass, through, hallelujah. The Bible says, the time will come when I will see face to face. I will know as I am known. Hallelujah. We are coming to a place where we will know. Jesus just knew their thoughts. He knew what they were planning. Hallelujah. Say amen now. I thought you would be getting excited. Hallelujah. You should be getting excited. Hallelujah. Get excited. Hallelujah. The game is about to change. Hallelujah. So before the temptation comes, what do you think is going to happen? You already know what the devil is planning for you. Like Robert was saying, you know, in the night he's planning all his plans, isn't it so? You're not bothered with that because you know that you know. Hallelujah. You know what the devil is planning. You see that in that day, no man shall say to his brother, know the Lord. The new covenant is a covenant of revelation. You know, the days of ministering by knowledge is over. It has to be a ministering by revelation. Paul said that when I come to you, I will come to you by revelation. By discernment. Before you start talking of doctrine and knowledge. Now, we go to Bible school so that we can get knowledge. Well, that was an old order. And it's fading. Somebody is struggling to be an apostle. So you say, I want to be an evangelist. I say, what a poor ambition. I want to be a son of God. Yeah. Yeah. I want to be a son of God. I want to be a priest of God. This is far beyond apostles and prophets. This is, my God, I don't know if you are going to be a chariot of God.
Hallelujah.
That's Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel 1. In a chariot. Chariot. What did Elijah see? Elijah saw chariots. We can't even get into that. Hallelujah. You see, we don't know what we are. And that's why we are struggling. We are just struggling with ourselves. You know, we're just going around the circles. Hallelujah. We need to get up high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come up hither. Into the spirit. So when we are being brought into Christ, it's to bring us into a new experience when we begin to walk in discernment. We are able to discern the voice of the spirit. We can discern what the spirit of God is saying to us. Not just for the devil, but we are now alive to God. We are hearing God. We are, you know, the life of God is poured, being poured into us. He's renewing us. Hallelujah. When the worship started, I could feel the power of God coming. Hallelujah. Did you feel the power of God? I felt it. And when the Spirit of God begins to come, you are helpless. But can you imagine when that becomes a 24-hour business?
Hallelujah.
When you are moving by the energy of God.
Amen.
This vehicle has a fuel. And that fuel is the energon of God. This vehicle. You know this is a vehicle?
Yes.
Barak told us it's a computer, isn't it so? There is an energy for it. Hallelujah. You plug it in and the power begins to flow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We need to change our mind, our mentality. Hallelujah. And that is what the Holy Ghost is all about. He brings us. We are taken from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spirit. And our soul begins to open up. We begin to see visions of God. We begin to hear God. Paul heard things, he said he couldn't mention it. But now it's going to be mentioned. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's one. Now, there is a second one. That is the table of shewbread.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we know there are six of them. Hallelujah. And of course, there are the crowns, the king's table. Amen. And then there was a cups of wine. Hallelujah. Now, this is the place of the nourishment of the bride, of the soul. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that the husband must do what? Cherish the wife. Is this so? And nourish. Hallelujah. It is the responsibility of Christ to nourish us all. You don't have to beg him. It is his responsibility to nourish. When you eat food, is it your leg that eats the food? How many people eat food with their leg? Or with their hand? How do you eat your food? It's from the head. Hallelujah. So look at your body and understand what God is saying to you. He says, if you, being evil, know how to bless your children. They ask you for fish. What do you give them? Stone. How much more your Heavenly Father is able to give us that which we need. Hallelujah. We were not asking. We are content with feeding on what? Husk.
Yeah.
That which is not food.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The soul needs the life of God. And that is the shoe bread. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down. Christ is the living bread.
Yeah.
And we know Christ has three dimensions, isn't it so? Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Christ in you is not perfect. It's a seed. It's growing unto perfection. So you can never worship the Christ in you. Hallelujah. But the Christ in me bears witness with the Christ in you. Hallelujah. So we can have fellowship. So deep calls unto deep. Hallelujah. Then we also have Christ in the midst. You say, we are two or three are gathered. What happens? I am there. So there is a ministry, the breaking of the communion of life that is in the midst. And then you have Christ as a person. And so people say, well, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He will not come in the spirit. That is the greatest blasphemy. Anywhere Jesus is mentioned, he will be there.
Amen.
As a person. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, as a person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as we have been told, the devil is none of those.
Right.
So he's limited. But Jesus is not limited. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is here. Personally.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So it says, other sheep have I. And are not of this fold. As he is with us, that is how he is with those who are in his fold. Hallelujah. So there is a personal Christ. There is a Christ in the body. And then there is Christ within.
Amen.
That is the breaking of the bread. So there is a communion where we are nourished by the fellowship we have with Christ within us. There's a life that flows, that nourishes us. That is the hidden manna. But you see, it's not enough. We need that communion of Christ that we share when we come together as brethren. So he's saying, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. Now, this sharing of Christ must be in the realm of the Spirit. But you know what the devil does? He wants to bring it. He wants to bring you and I to the flesh. Where the soul is fighting with bitterness, envy, jealousy, malice. And while you are doing that, you cannot feed on Christ. What do you do? You devour one another. It's the same soul. If that soul comes into the realm of the Spirit, it begins to minister life. It becomes an agent and vessel of life. Out of the belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. But the same soul If the condition is not right, we'll do what? We'll become a murderer.
Yeah.
We'll hate his brother. We think evil.
Yeah.
It's the same spirit. The same soul. And that's why we must wake up.
Amen.
And determine to walk in the spirit.
Yeah.
You say, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts, the desires, the will of the soul. Who cannot break through? When the soul is at that level, it loses power. It cannot break through. And many people are just groveling, crawling, scratching, just feeding on husk because there's no energy. Hallelujah. And that's when you say God must intervene in our situation. We need to ask God to intervene in our situation. Hallelujah. So that my soul will rise out of these regions of carnality. I can come into the place of life. Hallelujah. And that will say that the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Yeah, we give life to one another.
Amen.
So when we come together, it's a sharing of bread, a breaking of bread, a ministry of life. Hallelujah. And of course, we know that when we are walking in the spirit, then Christ is there to feed us. He said he will feed us. He will lead the sheep, feed us like a shepherd, lead the gentle with young. He will bring us to a place of living waters. He is a great shepherd. So that is the sheep bread. And the purpose of the bread is to change in the nature of the soul. Bible says that the word of God, what? Converts the soul. This is where the soul is converted.
Amen.
From carnal nature to heavenly nature.
Hallelujah.
Where the soul begins to hate iniquity, hate wickedness, and love righteousness. It is here. Hallelujah. And he says the entrance of your world, what does it do? It brings life.
Yes.
Now, how do we get out of this situation? A decision.
Yes.
It's not an emotional thing. It is a decision. And I pray we come to that decision this night. That I will move forward. Hallelujah. And that means I will lay down my weapons of war.
Yes.
I will be a minister of life.
Hallelujah.
Bible says that when he was reviled, what happened? He reviled not. So to overcome, God must bring a situation where you have been reviled. Where somebody has despitefully used you.
Yes.
Where somebody has hurt you. Those things must be there.
Amen.
Because when you overcome, God doesn't want you to come back.
Right.
When you overcome, it is that you have overcome.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then finally, we come to the real event. This is the real event. Now, this soul must be offered. The purpose of this experience is to bring discernment into the soul, bring light. The purpose of this is to bring the nature of God in. And the soul that has been so prepared must now be offered as a bride.
Amen.
That's what you call the offering of the soul. How can you offer a soul that is not a virgin?
Uh-huh.
So the soul that is being offered must be free of any blemish. Remember, so you bring a kid of the first year without any blemish. The soul that is to be offered to Christ must be blemished. Must have scurvy. Must have a runny nose. Must be crew-backed. That's what they were doing. They were look at all the good ones they will eat. Then all the ones that are sick and lame, they will bring an offer to the Lord. And he called Malachi and said, look, come here. So this is what you want to offer to me. Hallelujah. That's what we are giving to God. And God says, I will none of your offerings. This offering God will not receive. But there is an offering he will receive. Say, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. So, there's one word to describe the soul. The prepared soul. It is brokenness. Brokenness. It's not too much grammar. It is a lot of practicals. To become a foot mat. You know, it's very good to preach it. God will give you the experience where people begin to walk all over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How is it that God tells you, go and apologize to the gate man, that their security staff, or the lowest staff in your office, say, go and tell him, I'm sorry. You are the big man, he says, you go and tell him, I'm sorry, I was very rude to you. That's where brokenness starts. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, someone says, where your ministry is not recognized. You are doing everything you can, yet it's unrecognized. And you don't take offense. That's where brokenness starts. That is the offering that God is expecting. The offering of the soul. A soul that is devoid of carnality. A virgin must not have known a man. And the bride of Christ must not have known or be blemished by any other spirit. That is what it means to have oil in the vessel. That means the nature of Christ within the soul. Now, that is the soul that is going to break through the veil. Because there is no covering over the soul. All the spirits that we are covering the soul have taken their flight. Have been cast out. Bible says, he sent his spirit and cast out the devils. The spirit of God cast out the spirit, the devils. So as the spirit of God begins to come into the soul, it begins to break the power of the devil within the soul, within the mind, within the emotions. Hallelujah. So it's a place where the besetting sin, God begins to give us deliverance. Where the weights, God begins to give us deliverance. Where the character goes. So how many people are ready to lose the American character here?
Amen.
Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Because there's going to be a test. God is going to test your American nature. Hallelujah. And he will test my Nigerian nature. Hallelujah. He wants Zionites.
Yeah.
The sons of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So it is that a people will break through the veil. And what I'm talking about is what God wants us to come into a daily experience where we are walking. It's not theory. That's where we should be now, brethren. And I tell you what, some people are there. Better believe it that some are already walking in it. Don't ever think that, oh, this is just theory. Well, I will look at it, I will see if I can do it. If I can do it, I'm sure God will understand. What you are saying, you want to remain as a minister of hell.
Yeah.
Because remember, on the day of atonement, what happens? It's either your soul is going through, or what happens?
Yeah.
It goes back. So, we don't really have much of a choice. It's either I'm going forward or I'm going out. So this is the experience of the soul. And this is the high calling. This is the good fight. Suppose you say, fight the good fight of faith. Say, I have finished my course. May God bless us with that energy to fight the good fight. Hallelujah. He says that the kingdom of God suffers violence. And what happens? Man of violence, take it by force. That is, we see it and we say, we must break through the rank and take it by force. So we see that we need the old and we need the new. The oil is the foundation. We need this. We need to understand it. May we also need to know that Jesus has broken through the veil.
Amen.
As an example for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you say, if the same spirit that was the raised of Jesus, that helped him to break through his own veil,
yes,
dwell in us, that same spirit will quicken us. So that we can also break through and come into the same experience. And brethren, this is the rest that remaineth for the people of God. This is what you and I must press on. We must not turn back to perdition. But we must be of those that press on to the saving of the soul. The only way the soul can be saved is very clear. You can see is that it must be taken into the realm of the Spirit. It must be baptized into Christ permanently.
Yes.
That it must lose in itself the ability to come back to the flesh.
Yes.
Because as men are breaking through into life, other men are breaking through into death. That one is called 666.
Yes.
The other one is called the mark of the sons of God.
Yes.
So it says, do not destroy the earth until we seal the servants of God in their souls. So what we are seeing now around Iran, when we go to embassy, all those war games. War games. They are practicing what is going to happen. Hallelujah. And it is you and I that are holding it, but it's right time. The gate will soon be shut. And when the gate is shut, that means God would have had a first fruit who would have received this fullness in their souls. And then that clock will begin to run. The 42 months will begin to run. Hallelujah. And it will go on to darkness. Then that will usher in the day of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. So, the kingdom age is very, very close. And God must raise a people. We must be clear in our minds what we want. Are we going to go forward? Or are we going to go backward? I have to decide. Which way am I going? Am I going to press on to the saving of my soul? Or am I going to remain? But a decision to remain is a decision to draw back. Because on the day of atonement, when there is a breakthrough, there will no man be found in the holy. This work will have been finished. The door will be closed. It happened for Noah, isn't it so? When that day came, the door was closed. And then it began to rain. So also, the rain of judgment is about to come. And the time for closing the gate will soon come. So I'm believing that God will help us and so anoint us that we will not turn back unto perdition. In fact, we must have a new greeting. We must have a new way to greet ourselves. You know, those that say, Maranatha, Jesus is coming very soon. Now we must have a way to say, let us not draw back unto perdition.
Amen. Yes.
When you see a believer says, God bless you that you will not draw back unto perdition.
Amen.
But you will be among those who will do what? Press on to the saving of the soul. That should be how we should be blessing one another. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. We will bless ourselves with the ability to press on.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brother?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Probably
No. You can ask a question. Ask. No. Ask a question.
I was just wondering about the mind, the will, the desires, the emotions. Is there like a hierarchical, range with that, because I know I've been praying, Lord, my first thoughts, I want them to be of you. But I know that's got to be in my mind, and yet my will is involved as well. So is there, like, you know, a little bit of an order there?
I don't really know those dynamics of which one is there. But what I do know is that the mind is the highest dimension. The mind has to be that which will pull up, because it's able to go into God. All right, and then that the emotion is the lowest. Okay, that's the much I know. So maybe in that sense, you will say there is some kind of order. The mind being the highest and then the emotions being the lowest. And then with the others coming in between. All those are more like academics. And more like detail, fine points. But I think what God is saying now is that we must begin to cry out to God to have mercy upon us. And as we begin to press on, those issues will become clearer. But for now, it's not all that too clear. So all that we can say is that we know that there are these natures that are within. And as we go to God and ask God to change us, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." So God can search you, can begin to show you what is happening in the within you. And if not for knowledge, it's so that there can be a change. You know, you cry unto God. He says, if you submit yourself as an instrument of righteousness, then you become a servant of righteousness. If you submit yourself as an instrument of the devil, you also become, you know. So in searching you, it's so that you might respond to God. The Bible says that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be broken. And when you turn to God means when you offer yourself, when you begin to pray and respond to the word that comes. That's how you turn to the Lord. And as you do that, the veil. And then the veil is broken day by day.
Amen.
Paul said, I die daily.
Amen.
You know, so it has to be a walk. It's an Enoch walk with God. And God took him. So it's a walk.
Amen.
Daily. You take one step today. Tomorrow you take another step. You draw near to God, God draws near to you. You know, so it's a commitment to walk. Every day I must draw near. I'm not thinking of tomorrow, I'm thinking of now. I want to overcome now. Tomorrow I want to overcome now. Every day I want to overcome now. It's a sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we must be thinking of today. Let's overcome today. The strength of today will help us overcome tomorrow.
Amen.
You see, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives.
Because he lives. So he gives us strength to overcome today so that we can be strong to face the challenges to come. So as we get on, I believe that all those other details will become clearer. There might be others that might have more understanding, you know, as to how it is. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, there's no in between. No riding the fence. No riding the fence. Yes. Amen.
I would like to pray with brother and sister that are leaving tomorrow. Nancy went to get her.
Okay.